You on the call, Ken Stubbs? Okay, Kerry Camp. Kerry, you on the call? Philip Coldwell. Okay, so no one from registries. Tony Harris.
Good morning, Stubbs. Gary here.
Sorry, that's Ken and Carrie. Okay, thank you. Philip Colebrook, are you on the call? Right, okay. Tony Harris? Tony Holmes? Greg Ruth?
Here.
Thanks, Greg. Jessup Wall? Okay, I don't have anyone from the non-commercials. Ross Rader. Okay, Tom Keller.
I'm here.
Okay, I'm here. Nicholas Lagergren. Okay, Kyoshi. Lucy Nichols.
Lucy's excellent.
That's Philip Colebrook joining.
Thanks, Philip.
Hi, Bruce.
Amadeo is on holiday, but he said he would try and join.
Okay. Demi. Alec Wilson. See how many votes we've got around.
Hello, this is Jessup Wall.
Oh, hello, Jessup. Yes, I can. Yes. Thank you for joining.
Hi.
Hello.
Jessup, you have got the proxies for Carlos Alfonso and Mark Schneiders.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, that brings us up to quorum then. We've got 14 votes out of the 27. So moving on to the agenda, the first item of the agenda is the approval of the minutes of the past two meetings, I believe, which is the meeting that we had in Kuala Lumpur. There's a full transcript available, but we've also got minutes of that meeting. And there's also minutes of the teleconference we had on the 5th of August. Someone like to move those be accepted?
Yeah, this is Ken Stubbs. So moved, Bruce.
Thank you, Ken.
And it's Marilyn. I'll
second. Thank you, Marilyn. Okay. All those in favour of approving the minutes, say aye.
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 Any against? Okay. Any abstentions? Okay, well, note those minutes has passed.
Bruce, I'm sorry, this is Kyoshi. I disconnected myself, and I'm holding a proxy for Lucy.
Okay, thanks, Kyoshi. We've just approved the minutes of the last meeting.
Yeah, voting for.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The next item is the draft initial report on the procedure for use by the ICANN staff in considering requests for consent and related amendments to changes in the architecture or operation of the GTLD registry. The draft initial report has been published since just before Kuala Lumpur, so it's been out for, I guess, close to a month. The purpose of this item is really to decide whether further changes are required or whether to move the report to or to publish the report and to start the first 20-day public comment period on that report. So at that point I open the floor to anyone that would like to be in the queue to speak to that.
Now, Bruce, it's Philip Colebrook.
Philip, anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Phil.
Bruce, the main concern that we have as a registry constituency is the general lack of timeliness expressed in the process. I know we have certain limits at various stages of the process, but generally it's very difficult for us as registries to see a specific timeline that we will follow and to have guarantees of when particular stages will be implemented. Additionally, we also have concerns about the manner in which ICANN is going to fulfil its functions that are specified in the process. I was wondering if you had any further chats with or any information relating to how ICANN will fulfil that and whether you've given any consideration to further specifying actual time limits throughout the process.
Well, certainly my desire to include timelines, as a lot of the parts of the process are reliant on ICANN procedures. So, for example, if we look at the process of determining if approval was required, that would be probably coming out of the General Counsel's office at ICANN to decide whether approval is required or whether the registry can just proceed in the normal operations. Then if we look at the quick look process, a large part of that is managed from within ICANN, and ICANN may choose to use outside advisors. The bits of the process that I know of in terms of timelines I've included, for example, if the ICANN board is required to make a decision, then I've included the normal timelines for public comment for a board decision.
So I can understand there are variables in it, but of course from a business perspective, as registries considering the introduction of new products, the greater the specificity, the greater the satisfaction of all parties concerned, I think.
Yes.
And we're just not... we're not sure that the process as it currently stands does actually provide a necessary level of predictability.
Okay. Would the members of ICANN staff on the call, being Kurt, Paul or Barbara, be able to add any information at this stage?
This is Kurt.
Yeah, go ahead, Kurt, and I've got you in the queue, Ken.
And any request for registry change, I would come to ICANN through the registry liaison group, and at that point we would create essentially a project team to evaluate that registry change. So that project team would think about a small matrix organization. That project team would vary depending on the nature of the registry change, and so that we would take depending on the nature of it, we would take technical liaison or business liaison or the right the right skills and talents to evaluate it in the in the most rapid fashion. So you can imagine we might consult with start probably in parallel a consultation with SECSAC and also do the business analysis, perhaps with an outsider or inside expert. So there'd be these project teams that are formed and disbanded as the change is evaluated. So it would be, with the exception of the registry liaison, there's not dedicated resources, but rather those resources are taken and dedicated as need be. I view it as simple as that. I hope I'm not oversimplifying.
Yeah, well, I think what you've done there, Kurt, is state the process, and I think the question is kind of how long would that process take, and I guess it's hard to be specific to particular examples would probably vary, but is there a sense of what would be a target timeline?
I think for a quick look process, I think an answer within 2 months is reasonable, and that would include trying to be responsive. That would include parallel paths for technical and market reviews of about 3 weeks each, and then public comment period of 3 weeks, and then the other 2 weeks for the administration. administrative handling of it. But I'd like to hear, I know there's been a lot of discussion about what's reasonable, so I would like to hear feedback on that from the members of the council.
Marilyn,
I'd like to get into the queue.
Okay, well, I'll add you to the queue, Marilyn. I also have Ken. Anyone else like to be in the queue?
Bruce, this is Barbara. Can I just ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead, Barbara.
Didn't we have some suggested time periods in an earlier version of the workflow?
Of the what? Sorry, Barbara?
I'm sorry, the workflow diagram?
Of the diagrams?
Barbara's kind of, her voice is not very clear, but I think she asked if in the earlier diagrams that you prepared for members of the council, didn't you originally have some talking points in terms of time periods?
I don't know. I don't think I've deleted information. I think I've added information. So, it's possible it might have been in an earlier version. But I don't think I've ever actually had input from ICANN. I presume the registries at some point may have suggested how long a process may take. I think what's important is that we have both what's called a quick look process, and I think we need to perhaps provide some definition around the term quick. And then a detailed review, which is intended to incorporate more extensive public comment periods. For example, it's a step four of the detailed review is a managed 30-day public comment period. And within that period, the intent is there'd be briefings of major stakeholders, and ICANN would seek impact statements from the constituencies. So perhaps if I can just clarify with Kurt, when you were saying 2 months, was that for the quick look or the detailed review process?
I'm sorry, the quick look process.
Right. And so that means that the detailed review process could well be maybe another couple of months beyond that, I'm guessing. I'm just looking at some of the public comment periods here. Certainly, I guess, if you define, is the 2 months incorporating approval by the board, or was that 2 months prior to it being submitted to the board, Kurt?
The way I'm looking at it is this, and this is and after discussing with people at ICANN, that essentially 3 weeks are required to involve SEXAC or the IAB as needed, and so those market and the technical reviews would take about 3 weeks, and also there's a public comment period that I think at a minimum, I don't know if 30 days are required, but I think as a minimum there's 3 weeks there, so it would take at the worst case 2 months to get it in front of the board.
Right, so that's 2 months, and that 2 months incorporates the public comment that's part of the board process. So in other words, it takes a month to get the analysis in, and then a recommendation is prepared after that month for the board, and that recommendation is published, and then there's 30 days for the public roughly to comment on that, and then the board makes a decision. So it's 2 months. In rough terms, for the entire quick look process between the registry submitting the request and receiving approval for that request. Is that, am I saying that correctly?
The timing of the board meeting might push that out further.
I think what Kurt is suggesting, this is Barbara again, is that it would take a month to get up through step 10. And then a 30-day public comment period, the timing of which would depend on when the next board meeting was scheduled.
Right. Okay. So now that I've clarified that as a proposed timeline, then perhaps if Ken can comment on that, and then and also Marilyn, who's next in the queue. So go ahead, Ken.
Yeah, thanks, Bruce. Well, first of all, there's a couple of issues that have been brought up, and there were comments including.
And you're also a bit hard to hear, Ken.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me better now?
Yes.
All right, fine. There were issues that were just brought up by Kurt and have surfaced in some of the prior meetings that are of some significant concern. Number one is we need to make sure that there is a process that allows for enhanced communication between the registry proposing the service and the ICANN staff, and yet ensures confidentiality. And the point I'm making very simply is this. It would be much more helpful for Kurt and the ICANN staff if registries were able to go to them and say, listen, Kurt, here's what we're going to be forwarding to you on a formal basis. And we want to give you a heads up because we know it's a good idea for you to be able to know what we're talking about in advance. So if you need to marshal additional resources, you're going to be able to do it on a timely basis. There needs to be some sort of an assurance that if a registry proposes this or contacts ICANN, that the confidentiality that's confidentiality is assured in this process. Number one. Number two, I'm still very concerned because even in listening to the two of you talk, Kurt, you and Bruce here, I am seeing something that is not very concrete in terms of planning a business. And that is what you're saying is it might be 2 months, but, well, now, wait a minute, it would depend on the timing of the board, and it may very well depend on whether or not we have to bring outside expertise in for review. I think what we need to do is we need to have a process that's a little bit more clearly defined, even if we have to take some additional time to stratify the nature of the request. In other words, you could have, I won't call it a class one or a class two type request, but there are certain requests for services.
Seem to have dropped off there, Ken. Hello? Okay, well,
Bruce, can you still hear me, or did I
Yes, we lost you for a bit there, Ken.
Yeah, I guess what I'm really trying to say, and I don't know whether the comment on stratification came out, but you may have to take a look at this process in terms of stratifying the request, and timing the time period would depend on how the ICANN staff assesses the request in terms of the resources and time necessary. It would be much easier if a registry could go to the ICANN staff and the staff was to say, you know, this request falls into this category, so we estimate it would take, you know, 120 days. Or conversely, this is an easy, quick look process. We would anticipate that the inside and outside would be it would be much more helpful for the registry.
Okay, so if I understand you correctly, Ken, at the beginning of the process, you would like the ICANN staff to effectively quote to you a time frame, which would then help you with business planning. Is that correct?
Well,
so you discuss with ICANN. Yep.
Yeah, not only at helping the registries, but so much of the services that registries offer are migrating through their channels. And registrars need adequate time to be able to prepare. The registry needs adequate time to be able to provide any additional materials to the registrars in the way of either software or whatever it may be in order to make the whole thing work effectively and keep the registries on a competitive basis with the other communities. I think people have to remember that in this world today, GTLDs are, in effect, competing as businesses with other TLDs. And we can't create a process that hamstrings their ability to compete in the future with the other TLDs. That's the point I'm making.
Thanks. Okay. Marilyn?
I want to go back to points and just make a comment about rigid time frames. I think that actually ICANN needs, as a community, some flexibility that we need time frames that are defined. We also need to be sure that we've allowed some flexibility. For instance, it might be reasonable to have a 3-week check-in or, depending on the complexity of the proposed change, and let's say an August, July initiation of a discussion, a three-week time frame might not be reasonable because most of the feedback might be on vacation. So, you know, I think we ought to work into our understanding of the need to have flexibility while trying to provide time frame can be. I do agree the registry of businesses needs to provide certain to the business, but I also know that we introduce products and services into different kinds of markets, both regulated and non-regulated, that we have to take into account the fact that other people are going to be affected by introduction of new business. It may be only the but it's likely to be a wide number of clients as well. And for that reason, a 3-week comment period with very, very short notice may also be represent a challenge. So in our time frame, we probably want to provide some flexibility for the ICANN staff that's going to be doing this, going to be putting the project teams together, to identify the projects and get them together.
So if I'm understanding correctly from a couple of speakers, that I think we can set a expected timeline perhaps in the process and say, you know, we're expecting the quick look process to, on average, take about 2 months. And
I want
a
clarification, Bruce.
Yes, Ken?
I'm sorry. Please understand one more thing in reviewing this thing, and that is that regardless of the situation, registries are obligated to give the registrars at least 90 days notice on any changes like that. So what you're really doing is taking a process and stretching out to a minimum of 5 months, and that would depend on when the board was sanctioned.
Yeah, that's a fair comment. So it's basically saying that there's notice periods after the board has signed off. And I think those notice periods probably depend a little bit on the nature of the change as well, Ken, but certainly a major software change would be 90 days. Some changes may not impact registrars at all, in which case that wouldn't apply. For example, if there was a change to the operation of the DNS service or something that doesn't relate to the interface between registries and registrars. Okay. So, again, in summary, I think we're saying that the staff are advising that they believe the quick look process would take approximately 2 months. The registries are saying that what they would also like, in addition to that as a general target, that for any particular process, two things. One, that they can maintain confidential discussions with ICANN, perhaps before putting in the formal request, is one thing, and secondly, that ICANN be able to give an estimate to the registry operator on the time they would envisage taking. And as Marilyn pointed out, a classic example could be if the registry was to submit a request at the beginning of the week of an ICANN meeting, you can imagine that at least a week would be lost before people got back in the office to consider that request. Are there any other comments on timelines?
Bruce, it's Philip Feldbrook here.
Yeah, go ahead, Philip.
Could I just get a bit of clarification on the initial determination by ICANN? If I heard Kurt correctly, it's the case that this will just be submitted to ICANN Council for their determination. I'm not sure if we had any comments on actually how long that procedure would be. I imagine it would be a fairly quick procedure, but I'd just like to hear some thoughts on that, if I may. This is Kurt.
Yeah, go ahead, Kurt.
Does your question go to the determination of whether we're going to apply the quick look process?
Yes, that's correct. Determination if approval is required, correct.
You know, I think that's a quick process, too. I'm reviewing this part of the flow chart here to determine... you would think that could be done, you know, within a week, and then you'd want to say, in all cases, it could be done in 2 weeks, something like that.
Yeah, I would think that you would be aiming, essentially that first flow chart is more or less an assessment by internal counsel of ICANN as to whether or not the change is covered by the agreement or not. And so I think you'd want to target that for at least a week as a general thing, and especially if you have more than one council member of council and more than one lawyer within the ICANN staff. So if one person's on leave, presumably the other person would be able to respond.
This is Kurt again. Can I ask a question?
Yeah, sure.
Of the registry constituency, what in your discussions? What are your reasonableness targets for how long the process should take?
So Ken or Philip want to respond to that? Or Carrie?
So, I don't have it specifically considered an absolute maximum time limit on this or a minimum, to be honest. At the moment, if we're looking at... a period of 2 months for a quick look at the procedure and possibly a week or two for determination of approval, that seems reasonable. But then, of course, we're still left with possible variables within the procedure that may push that time limit. But to answer your question, Kurt, I'm afraid I can't give a definite answer. We haven't formulated a definite reason, a definite length. Main reason being is that within the registry constituency, we have identified quite a number of differences between, for instance, sponsored and unsponsored TLDs and the types of changes that may be sought. So we're still actually working through those issues.
Kurt, there are a couple of issues here. Number one is a lot of that's going to depend on how effectively we can get communications between ICANN staff on whether or not even proposals might possibly be out of scope. If they go into quick look, it could be as little as 30 days, or if we can develop some sort of a system that allows a notice period to registrars to be somewhat concurrent with the entry into a process, so that once the process is approved, we wouldn't have to wait till the very end in order to have the formal notification to the registrars. Remember, we're trying to keep some flexibility into a business model and be somewhat more responsive to our community needs, and we need to make sure that the process doesn't encumber our ability to do that. So we need to be able to try to have the flexibility to be able to get this new proposed service offering or whatever it may be out as quickly as possible, especially in light of the fact that, if the board's approving in a case like that, why do we want to wait an additional 90 days? I can understand in a very complex situation, but there may be situations that don't necessarily require major software changes and so forth.
I think I could just make a comment on that, Ken. From a registrar perspective, is part of that comes down to the certainty of the process. In the past, the certainty between when a registry has announced its intent to offer a service and when it's gone through the whole process has been so uncertain that I don't think any registrar now would actually undertake any development work until it was signed and sealed and absolutely definite. So I guess that's just a comment on that, that you know, it requires a bit of certainty in the process for that overlapping period to actually work. Okay, any other comments on timelines or questions on timelines?
Yeah, Bruce, Paul here.
Yeah, go ahead, Paul.
I think we suggested from our side in the past when discussing these flow diagrams that it would probably be important to determine the timings of each of the steps. And after this discussion, I've become more convinced that we need to do that in order to make sure that the operational reality, as far as we see it, matches with expectations. And depending on how a particular issue is going through the flow diagrams, there are all sorts of timing consequences for that. And I think it would be worthwhile if we see something of the sort of expectations of the registries indeed against what we think is something like a sort of minimum, maximum, and maybe a sort of mean of an average sort of target of how we would think that these various steps and loops would take, because it involves ICANN, it involves also the registries and indeed the communications between us, and I think it would be good that we jointly see eye to eye on how this is going to work, otherwise we're going to have possibly a lot of problems afterwards.
So what are we recommending is the process here? Are we saying that we need a meeting between the staff and the registry constituency just to agree on a timeline to put in this initial report is one option, or another option is we take the outcome of this call as kind of the starting point, put that in the initial report and at least issue the initial report so others can comment on it, and in parallel with that public comment period, you know, we have some more discussions about timelines.
Bruce, this is Ken Stubbs. I don't think this report's ready for public comment yet. I think we need to have the opportunity to get something more definitive. Really what you're doing is, at this point in time is vetting a non-specific concept, and I just don't think that falls within the appropriateness of the process at this point in time. If we're going to make this work and make it effective for everybody, we need to make sure that the public has an opportunity to comment on something that is a little more specific and substantive, especially the registrars, and I think that's very important.
Bruce, I'd like to be in the queue.
Yes, anyone else like to join the queue? Go ahead, Marilyn.
I think that we probably need to do some work to develop what might be considered a more easily digestible format to help guide during the public comment period. You know, I consider myself pretty well immersed in this, that I don't necessarily consider every member of my constituency as well immersed in this as Grant and I would be, yet they may have individual comments they wish to make. So somehow we might need to sort of think about, as we do the posting, how we provide the sort of an easy way for people to comment on particular sections or understand particular sections. Secondly, however, while I'm not opposed to there being private discussion or, you know, a singular discussion between the ICANN staff and the registry constituency, by any means, in order to gain better clarity and mutual understanding, the output of that discussion person need to be part of will need to be part of further discussion with the council. The registries wanting to introduce these are sole source providers within their particular area, and the balance that has been created that keeps registries out of any need for regulation is the back of their shelter in this privacy-based policy environment. So if you decide to go ahead with this individualized meeting, then do take into account and figure out how you provide the output of that into the larger council consultative process.
Rose, can I respond to Marilyn, please?
Yeah, go ahead, Ken.
Yeah, Marilyn, I'd like to say in many ways I support you there, because according to Section 9 of the PDP procedures, once an initial report comes out, the council no longer works on it. It goes right into the hands of the staff manager. And it's quite clear to me that we need a product that the council can comment on, and really, I think from a practical standpoint, until we get something a little bit more definitive, I'd have to agree with you totally. I don't think we're really in a position to effectively move it forward until we know exactly what we're dealing with. So, I mean, I hope, in effect, I understood what you meant, that I think we do need that additional input, and we do
I just go on with one more question. At the same time, I do want to move this issue forward relatively rapidly, because I think council have the responsibility to try to provide clarity as soon as possible. So I'm not just using, you know, excessive delay in accomplishing this work.
Okay, so it seems to me then that the view is that we need some more time to clarify the timelines. And it sounds like the ICANN staff were looking for a bit more feedback from the GNSO members on what the GNSO considers to be a reasonable time frame, and it sounds like a starting point of what ICANN believes is a reasonable time frame is sort of, you know, 1 week for the council to make a decision on whether the process is necessary, 2 months for a quick look, and longer for the detailed look. I'm happy to sort of just as a separate task, separate to the main report for the moment, just try and list the different timelines there, you know, add the dates together and have something there for discussion. But if the registries and ICANN and anyone else can provide input to the ICANN staff on what they think the right time frame is, and we bring the result of that discussion back to council, maybe even just via the mailing list, before we finalise the report. If we use that as a process, then I would suggest perhaps that we'd schedule a council meeting, say, for around about the 9th of September, to try and pull all that together and finalise the report at that point. Would the members of council be happy with that as a process, that we schedule another meeting for the 9th of September to finalise, and in the interim we work on the timeframes?
I just need to check council calendar myself. Probably a few other people do as well. The 9th of September, actually, I can't do a meeting on the 9th of September.
I'm basically saying it's about 3 weeks away is what I was suggesting there.
Roughly 3 weeks sounds reasonable to me, but
are you okay with that time frame, Ken, from a registry point of view?
I think that would be that would probably be acceptable. Do we want to discuss any more specific points in the report, because I do have one more comment I want to make.
Yeah, go ahead, yes.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned about the appeal process, because according to what I understand, my view of the report, it would basically what they're saying is that if a proposed service is approved and implemented, hypothetically, if somebody challenges this, there would be could be a requirement possibly about halting the service during the challenge process. And frankly, that's almost the equivalent of an injunction, and it would seem to me that we may have some serious issues there, because burden of proof for injunctions is pretty significant. So I think we need to make sure that we go on the record, get more clarification on exactly what this means. It's not, as my understanding at this point in time, that's not an acceptable approach to take, to require registries to halt provisioning of a service that's been approved with ICANN because someone has decided they don't like it and they want to file an appeal.
Yeah, well, I think, firstly, Ken, it's actually in the bylaws, so it's not something we're creating there. And then your question about the sort of injunction side of things that you're talking about, a decision to do that would have to come to the ICANN board itself to actually require a stay of action.
Right. Bruce, you're using words like I think and what I think you're doing is you're interpreting it as you see it, and I need to make sure there needs to be much more clarity on
yeah, sure. No, I can, I think that's the question.
You're talking about investing substantial resources in on a service like that, there needs to be some.
Are you still there, Ken?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, so you'd like to get some information from the General Counsel on how that reconsideration process might work and what the process is. Is that what I'm hearing correctly?
Yeah, I just think that the way it's set up at this point in time, it's, I can't necessarily buy into it, and I think, frankly, it's probably unacceptable to require a registry to halt provisioning of a service that's been previously approved because somebody decides they want to appeal it. That's the point I'm making.
Yeah, and I think that's right. And I'm just reading from the reconsideration process, and that basically just says that is a stay of action appropriate pending resolution of the request? And that would be the reconsideration committee would have to make a recommendation to do that. It's not an automatic step, but it has to be a recommendation from the reconsideration committee. It is not something that is automatic, and if you do an appeal, there's no requirement to stop the action. Does that make sense? I'm not interpreting things here. I'm just reading what's actually in the bylaws.
Well, I'm a little concerned because I don't think it's appropriate for registry staff to wait for reconsideration committees to decide whether something's appropriate or not. I think what we need to do is get more clarification on that, and maybe what we'll do is try to make the make something more formal in the way of a presentation as to our concerns about this specific issue and see how
right.
We deal with it.
Right. Okay. So I think that's essentially a question for the General Counsel to respond on, as it's basically an existing ICANN process.
John, Paul here. Or Bruce, Paul here.
Hey, go ahead, Paul.
I think it would be useful if the question you want to ask the General Counsel here is detailed, in the sense that there is a precise request as to what exactly you would want to know. This is at the request of John Jeffrey, so that he has got as much clarity as to what it is you want to have on these type of questions to him. So if you maybe with Ken and others could.
I think that's a good advice, Paul. So, Ken, if you could work with the registry constituency members just to formulate that question more formally in writing.
I'll bring that. Yeah, what I'll do is I'll bring that out to the registry constituency, and maybe we may try to set up a special conference call just to discuss this issue amongst the members of the constituency and see if we can't come up with maybe a straw man proposal or something like that that would give more concrete examples so that we can see how we can deal with issues like this. Sometimes it's hard to visualize something like this. You need to put it in a more concrete example in order to make it more relevant to people who are looking at it.
Yes, and I think Marilyn's comment about how to present this in a public comment process is valid as well. I guess I've just tried to get this report together into one form, and I haven't really looked at it from a readability point of view. It probably requires a sort of executive summary on the front to say this is the main issues being proposed in the report, and in one or two pages so that a member of the general public can look to see if they have an issue with that, rather than requiring people to read the entire report. Okay, any other points or discussion on this item? Okay, well, what we'll do then is aim to set up another call in sort of 3 weeks' time. Between now and then, we'll aim to provide clarity on the timeline and seek answers to the questions that have been raised on this call in regards to the process for reconsideration. The next item of the agenda relates to, I guess, implementation of policies, and one of the approaches I want to take as we move forward in each meeting is that we just regularly review the status of policies that have already been approved by the council and the board, and two things. One is to determine whether the policy has been implemented, and then at a future date see what sort of measurements have been taken to measure whether the policy actually met its objective. So just in that context, if we look at WHOIS, the WHOIS data reminder policy was in effect in October last year. There were a couple of other elements of that policy. Kurt, are you able to respond on whether those elements have now been implemented? I believe there was a registrar advisory recently that advised that some of these things are now in effect.
As far as the, I want to make sort of an announcement on the first one, which is the reminder policy. Under your draft agenda 3.2.1, what I wanted to state was that ICANN, as probably a lot of you know, has a deliverable to the Department of Commerce on 30 November regarding the status and efficacy of this already implemented policy, and as part of that, ICANN will be contacting every registrar with sort of a questionnaire that will test, how the policy is. Well, we'll request information on how the policy is implemented, and also request some data as to the response registrars are getting to the policy implementation in order to test the effectiveness of that. So. This kind of goes beyond the implementation discussion, but I just wanted to announce that in the next couple weeks, registrars will see some activity on that.
Okay, and what about, say, 3.2 and 2.3 and 2.4?
Yeah, ICANN recently posted, and I'll just say that some of these things probably weren't followed through by ICANN as thoroughly as it should have been when the policy was first developed, as far as finalizing the implementation of it. So in some of these cases, for example, the leading names, which are effectively implemented because registries are effectively the leading names. We thought the policy was complete. So in any event, ICANN's posted these policies as for public comment so that they can be effective on, you know, formally effective on 12 November 2004, the same date as the inter-registrar transfer policy. So you can find them on the ICANN website under, email went out from Tina Dam describing where they can be found, and appropriate notifications are being made to the registrars in accordance with the bylaws. I think we're faxing out or have faxed out the notification of the new policies, the Lewis market restriction policy and the restored names accuracy policy. So I don't know how much detail we want to go into each one of those, but
well, I think the ones that are there so far are the WHOIS. I don't think the deleted names one's actually up there yet.
Bruce, Tony Holmes joined the call. Apologies for my late attendance.
Yep, thanks for joining, Tony.
Bruce, I have a question. Can I get in the queue?
Yeah, go ahead, Marilyn.
I'm heartened with the report, Kurt, and I really appreciate it. And I also appreciate the comment that you made about the potential gap we make in experience between the listening of this policy and getting the notices out and moving forward in implementation. I think one of the things that council has to pay attention to is that we really, I think, have to be in a constant iterative loop of paying attention and supporting implementation of the policy that we develop. But one thing that is a little mystical to me is how the rest of the community, such as the business users or the ISP, would be aware that these policies have been implemented. They're posted on the ICANN side. Is there a notice that says they've been implemented, or how would we know that they've been implemented?
I'll tell you what I believe the requirement to be, and then maybe we can discuss, and Paul and Barbara can probably...
Let me just explain why it matters so much to business users to be clear, but it might be helpful. We are the people who actually, all registrants are the people who actually ask for the transfer. So just taking that one as an example, that's why it matters so much to us that we also be advised. We can inform the broader community who are dependent on that policy.
So the requirement is, for posting of the policy, and then in the case of the registrars, we actually fax written notice of the policy, which, seems a little bit onerous and perhaps not the best way to do it, but unless Barbara or Paul or Hoop have additional comments, I'd like to, what do you suggest as far as formal notification? Would it just be a formal notification to the council?
Right. I was just thinking about a formal notification to the council, asking the council to council members to take responsibility for notifying their constituencies.
I think the transfers one has been a bit more formally announced. It was announced at the meeting in Kuala Lumpur, I think, in different forums like the public forum, and it was on the front page of the website that policy had been implemented. I think these recent ones that, as Kurt says, just kind of tidying up some loose ends from last year, have mostly appeared on a page that's most likely to be used by registrars. In fact, it's the web page is called Policies Applicable to Registrars. It would probably be helpful if there was a link on the front page just for a short period of time, just announcing that those new policies are now coming into effect. Because I think people are more likely to follow what happens on the front page of ICANN's website than they are in you know, some pages several levels deep.
Bruce, this is Kurt.
Yep.
We're developing at ICANN also as part of getting information out in a more effective manner and an announcements mailing list. And I could, you know, if this is what Marilyn has in mind and you all agree, we would create a sort of an announcements list for council anytime there's information to be disseminated on policy implementation or the status of policy implementation. We could disseminate that information to a mailing list.
Yeah, I think that's excellent. You know, I think that fits with the idea that ICANN has talked about before of really trying to streamline and improve the level of communication, and I do think that would be helpful to put council members on such an announcement mailing.
Okay, sounds like a good idea. Any other comments on item four of the agenda, which is basically just listing the policies and their current status? Okay, the last item on the agenda, item five, is talking about the process for new GTLDs. This process is specifically mentioned in the MOU between ICANN and the US Department of Commerce. And says that the process needs to consider consideration of the potential impact of new GTLDs, the creation and implementation of selection criteria, consumer benefits associated with establishing a competitive environment, recommendations from experts, etc. And the idea is that a strategy for this should be completed by September of this year, and implementation commenced by the end of the year. I guess as council is likely to need to be involved in this process, I think what the council was seeking is some guidance from ICANN staff on what they see the steps are and the timing of those steps. Would Kurt or Paul Verhoek be able to comment on that?
Yeah, Paul here. Yeah. Chris?
Yep, thanks, Paul.
We are not yet in a position to tell you how exactly we would want to do that. We're still detailing this, and as I said in the past, we are having to check with the Department of Commerce that our interpretation of how this can be done is also the way they see it as far as the MOU requirement is there. We hope to complete this shortly, and then obviously we will inform the council immediately.
Okay. Any questions or comments for Paul?
Yeah, we can have a question.
Yeah, go ahead, Mel.
I guess I'm a little concerned about a couple. Well, I'm concerned about a couple of things, and I'm sure the ICANN staff is as well. Should the DOC staff not concur with whatever the proposed process is by the staff, I would say that we've got a council member challenge. Also, given that council may, I'm just wondering if you're going to be able to come to council and take some comments before you finalize the strategy, or the timing to prohibit that.
It would seem difficult. I mean, in the sense that what I would guess in practice is going to happen is that we will check with DOC. If we get signals that they would be able to agree with us and they don't see too many problem this, and we need to determine whether that would actually result, among other things, in the need for a discussion with the council or not. So I know that this is not a quite satisfactory answer, but I don't think I can do better than that at the moment.
Are you undertaking parallel consultation at all with expert advisory groups or other agencies, or are you going to have to postpone that until you have concurrence from the DOC?
Well, you know, we have this OECD report, and we are supposed to get some other reports, and this is one of the problems. We still haven't gotten the reports we're supposed to have, among others, from Vital. So we're fighting deadlines here, but not everything is under our control. So to that extent, there is outside expertise flowing into the process, if you wish.
There was also a report on the business aspects, the lessons learned from the implementation of the last round that was delivered to the board and staff in Kuala Lumpur that we'll make public shortly. So that we look to make all those reports available to the GNSO as soon as they're released.
Yeah, maybe think about what steps you could take to advance the work on our part as well. We all are just as you are, and before that we review and digest and understand that even our background to counsel, everyone can come to us, even for background reading, the better, I think, and I think that would smooth the ability of counsel to assimilate information and to provide the most objective and informed dissertation to ICANN. If we get a pilot report sort of, at the last minute, particularly if some of us are traveling and have treaty conferences and coming up, it's going to be a challenge.
Yeah, I think it is indeed going to be a challenge. I mean, obviously, we will publish, as Kurt said, everything as soon as we have it, and any proposals we will put forward will be discussed with everybody, and first and foremost the council. But I think we hit on this in previous discussions. This one is a particularly challenging one, to put it mildly.
I think, because as the organization responsible for GNSO policy, that we all really appreciate how challenging it is, and that what we're looking to do is to be prepared to fulfill our responsibility. Do you have a timeline on when you expect to hear back from your consultation with the DOC?
Well, I would expect that we would be able to do that in the next weeks. One of the problems is holidays in the Northern Hemisphere.
One of the other problems is that a number of people in the DOC are traveling for international consultations and bilat as well in the September timeframe. I recognize that. So perhaps, Bruce, if you think we could ask for another status report at that meeting you're trying to...
Yeah, I think I'll just add it to the agenda and just get a status report at that stage and see where we're up to at that time. Okay, are there any other items of business anyone would like to raise?
Could we just ask, when you do have reports that are declassified or are public, if they could just be directly to the council by Glenn, Kurt, or Paul, that help all of us, I think?
Yes, sure.
Hey, Bruce, this is Jeff Newman. You guys got us on the call. Did you want an update?
Yeah, I didn't actually have it on the agenda, but I'm happy to have an update, Jeff, if you'd like to provide one.
Okay, that's why I guess George's on the call, too.
Oh, that's good, yeah.
No, we've been It's just a short update. We had a call a couple weeks ago of the Joint Task Forces 1 and 2, which now has a really long name that, Bruce, you gave us. They have to shorten the name a little. It's now called the Improving Informed Consent to the Publication of Contact Data and Improving Controls for Third-Party Access to Public Contact Data Task Force. So we may have to shorten that name a little bit.
Well, that's rather a mistake people made in asking me to suggest something, obviously.
Well, you can call it an acronym, right?
Yeah, it sounds like IPACAC.
Yeah. So we had a meeting, and we elected co-chairs of the task force with myself and Jordan Buchanan taking on that role. And what we've done is we've followed the advice of council, which is to come up with an initial list of issues that we thought were attainable, where reports were attainable in the immediate near term. Those include creating a subgroup on further defining the requirement for conspicuous notice. We also talked about, and I'm glad, since the meeting, Tina's posted the status that you guys have just discussed previously of the latest WHOIS recommendations. But one of the things the task force wants to do is kind of look into the status of those previous recommendations. And those are the two main items that we agreed on in the short term. We know we have to talk about tiered access, but at this point in time, the focus has been on the general feasibility of having any form of tiered access system. So there's going to be a subgroup set up that looks into that issue strictly on feasibility. And finally, it was discussed but not yet agreed upon that one of the tasks should also be to look at what difference, what a full set of data, what a tiered access, what data would be in the tiered access. For example, what data would be the subset that would be viewable by anybody in a tier one, if you will, and what data would be in a, if there were a tiered access, what data would be in the smaller subset. So right now, Barbara's put together some charts that Jordan and I are looking at to graph some of these issues out. And we're going to send that to the task forces shortly.
Thanks, Jeff. Jordan, did you have anything you wanted to add to that as co-chair?
No, I think Jeff summarized it more than adequately.
Good. And is Brian on the call regarding who is Task Force 3? Okay, well, we'll get an update on the who is task force for the next call in 3 weeks' time as well. But thank you very much for attending, Jordan and Jeff, and giving us that update.
Great.
Any other business anyone wants to raise?
Bruce?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, we have a question before us, I think, as council, that we haven't addressed, and we probably have to at some point, and we'll need guidance probably from the ICANN staff on the timing issues related to the PDP process in relation to this, the development of policy and who is. We are obviously not in compliance with the PDP timeline, and I think we all understood the need to adapt. I don't know if we need to take any steps, either to suspend the timeline so that further work can be done, or what we might be required to do in order to be able to stay compliant with the requirements of the PDP process.
Yeah, I think that's probably more general than just who is. We haven't kept the timelines on any of the policy development processes since the new bylaws were put into place.
We talked about the fact that we recognize that timelines were unrealistic, but I think we need to make a formal acknowledgement of it and lay out a plan modifying the timeline on an interim basis, so that we can keep our policy development process because we do have to be able to defend the legitimacy of consensus policy.
Yes, and I think, my question, I suppose, is whether we deal with it as a review of the GNSO. We might, maybe we form a subcommittee of council to review progress so far and make recommendations to council in regards to things like timelines for the council to consider, and then we can put that before the board.
I would propose we take advice of this, Bruce, that we consider an action at the next meeting to suspend or revise the timeline on an interim basis in order to give us the chance to complete this work, and then we do exactly what you're proposing. We need to engage in a review of council's work overall and provide broader feedback, but I think we probably need to take two steps so that we have the grace period to do our policy work now, and then we have a broader evaluation we engage in overall of council's process.
Okay. Are you going to volunteer to draft a motion to that effect on the first one?
I'm going to volunteer to contact the ICANN staff and work with them to draft such a motion. How's that?
Yep, sounds fine to me. Okay, I'll put that on the agenda for the next meeting. Any other business?
Just for the record, I've been on the call, Glenn. Tony Harris here.
Oh, thanks, right. Tony.
Same for me, Victoria from Gaelic.
Oh, good. Thank you, Victoria. Okay, well, at that point, I'll thank everybody for attending, and we'll schedule a call in about 3 weeks' time. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right.
All right.